Praise the Lord. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord today. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to turn your attention today, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. And we're going to be reading from the Contemporary English Version to begin with. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Paul, writing to the church of Galatia, says, "If you are guided by the Spirit, you won't obey your selfish desires." The Spirit and your desires are enemies of each other. Now, the King James reads, "The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other." They are always fighting each other and keeping you from doing what you feel you should. But if you obey the Spirit, the law of Moses has no control over you. People's desires make them give in to immoral ways, filthy thoughts, and shameful deeds. They worship idols, practice witchcraft, hate others, and are hard to get along with. People become jealous and angry and selfish. They not only argue and cause trouble, but they are envious. They get drunk and carry on at wild parties and do other evil things as well. I told you before, and I'm telling you again, no one who does these things will share in the blessings of God's kingdom. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord Jesus, give me a heart, Lord Jesus, I pray, that wants to hear your word. And give me hearing ears, Lord. Give me a heart, Lord, that wants to obey your word, in Jesus' name. Lord, your word said you admonish those in your word to be careful how they hear. Help us to hear what the Spirit would say, in Jesus' name. We're going to talk about the topic today, the war within. Everyone say that with me. The war within. The war within. There's a lot going on around us today, but there's also a lot going on within us. Today, I want to address our battle with God, our fight with Him. Sometimes in our life, we find ourselves in situations that are less than desirable, and it's not always external factors that get us there. It's the war within. Because hearkening back to the word of the Lord, Paul said, people's desires, everyone say desires, makes them give in to. And he listed these things. And in the King James, they're called works of the flesh. The desire produces the work of the flesh, okay? So we're going to deal with our battle with God today. Sister Megan was talking yesterday and brought up a topic, and I don't even know what we're talking about, but she just started talking, and I'm like, oh, my word, that's exactly the synopsis of what I want to say tomorrow. And in essence, the conversation that we had or listened to Sister Megan talking was, there has to be a balance in life. We have to understand our responsibility in the flesh and what God will do in the spirit. So in other words, we cannot be acting in the flesh and walking according to the flesh in an unrepentant manner and expect God to continually bail us out and to do for us in the spirit what he tells us simply to do in the flesh. Did I get it right? Pretty much in a nutshell. She could detail all the ideas she had much better than I could. However, that's what I gathered. So I thought that goes so well with what we're talking about today. Because, you know, sometimes, and please, don't turn me off right now. Hear what I'm saying. Sometimes the forces of evil are blamed for situations created by our unrepentance. Okay? The unfortunate reality of life in the church is sometimes the greatest threat to the church is the church itself. Okay? The scripture we read doesn't list the works of the devil, but rather the works of the flesh. He didn't say these are the works of Satan. He said these are the works of my flesh, of our flesh, when we give in to the desires that wage war against what? God. He said there's a war. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to the unregenerate. He's not writing to the unbeliever. He's writing to those who have been filled with the Spirit, baptized in Jesus' name. And he said, church, you've got a war going on in the inside of you. No matter how good that person looks, no matter how talented they are, you know, they could be the best of the best among us. They could be the most spiritual among us. In them is a war raging daily. It's the human will versus the will of God. It's the ego of mankind versus the will of God. It's the pride of life. It's the pride of lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay? So, am I saying today, by saying all this, am I saying that the forces of evil do not fight us? Absolutely not. Everybody understand that? I'm not saying that. I'm not throwing that out. Okay? We could talk about Ephesians chapter 6 and the armor of God for quite a while, because it's true. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I think that's exactly what we're wrestling against, we're fighting against, and all this stuff that's happening in our countries. Those things have infiltrated those areas of our country and levels of government and courts and so on and so forth. So that's another discussion for another time. But as my sister Megan so pointed out yesterday, we have to take care of what we can take care of. And the biggest thing we can take care of is us. So, in addition to that, I am saying that sometimes the forces of evil get too much credit for our carnal nature, our own choices, and our unrepentance. So, I do want to remind us today that the forces of evil were defeated at Calvary. Yes, we wrestle against them. Yes, they come against us. But they are not insurmountable. I know they're real. I woke up in the middle of the night when I first came to the Lord. And I know this sounds spooky, but they are real. And I don't want to get off in this and spend a lot of time in this, but I do want to touch base on it. I remember one night, and I hadn't even graduated high school yet. I was walking with God, just received the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name. I don't know how long I was in the church, a year or two, okay? And I remember I could take you to the spot in the trailer park where we lived. If the trailer was still there, I could take you to the bedroom. I could take you to the window. Something came in the window that night when I was going to sleep, and it wasn't good. I don't know what it was, but I prayed against it and prayed against it and prayed against it until it left. I can't explain things like that. Okay, so they are real. I'm not denying that today. I'm not saying it doesn't affect us. I'm not saying it doesn't bother us. But I've come today to deal with the war within. Because if we can't win the war within, we don't even need to worry about what's going on around us. We've got to have victory within. We've got to have victory within ourselves. Okay? And we've got to, you know, the Bible says to give honor where honor's due. In other words, credit where credit's due. Okay, in our lives, we need to give credit where credit is due, whether it's good or bad. So if we're in a situation, or we find ourselves in a situation that I've made because of my choice or my decision or my unrepentance, we need to own up to that and fix what we're doing wrong. I can't say I'm being spiritually attacked when I'm living in sin. Okay? I'm creating the problem. So it's a line which we need discernment. We need discernment today like we've never needed it before. And I think right now would be a wonderful time to pause. Number one, pray for your leadership. Pray for your pastor. Pray for his wife. And then pray for yourself. That God give me discernment. Help me to understand what is a spiritual attack. And help me to understand what is a situation that has been created by a work of the flesh. Because you can't cast flesh out, folks. Flesh has got to die. Lord Jesus, today, I pray, Lord God, we're talking about the war within. And Lord, we're living in a day and age like none other. But Lord Jesus, we do believe attacks come, Lord God, but we create situations ourselves sometimes. And that's what we're dealing with today, Lord. And I just pray for discernment. I'm praying, Lord God, that you would touch our pastor and Sister Julia. I pray, Lord God, that you would give them discernment. Help them to understand. Help us to understand as a church. Help us to understand as individuals what are attacks of the enemy, Lord Jesus, and what are works of the flesh. God, we can cast devils out, and we can, Lord God, call upon you, and you rebuke devils, Lord Jesus. But God, we can't cast flesh out. It's got to die. Help us to be discerning. Help us to have ears to hear. And help us, Lord, to be repentant and walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So they were defeated at Calvary. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 from the English Standard Version says that he, Jesus Christ, disarmed. Everybody say disarmed. The rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So Jesus Christ disarmed the powers and the authorities of the enemy. Well, then why is there so much chaos in the earth, Brother Pritt? Because people are giving them room in their life. Okay, they don't have the authority they have. They don't have the power they have. But if you want to play around with them, they'll gladly follow you around. Okay? We can't host this stuff in our lives. And that's what I'm talking about. I can't host something that I know is wrong and then say I'm being attacked by the devil. It doesn't work that way. It'll never get fixed, folks. Whether it's personally, whether it's organizationally, it'll never get fixed. Okay? So 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8 says, Jesus came that he might destroy. Everybody say this, destroy. So he disarmed, he destroyed the works of the devil. I love the definition of the word works in the original language. It says he destroyed the business, the employment, that which one is occupied. The devil don't even have a job nowadays. He's unemployed, according to the word of the Lord. That's what it means. To destroy the employment of. So again, I'm going to ask them, why so much stuff going on? Because he'll gladly cause trouble in our lives if we invite him to. Okay, and that's what we're talking about today. There's a whole different, and I hope I'm delineating this good enough. We're going to set spiritual attacks over here. Yes, they happen. Yes, they come against us. It's like when you commit to do something for God and all of a sudden, boom, out of the middle of nowhere, something comes on you and it's like, oh my word, where did that come from? That's a spiritual attack. Okay? But we're going to go over here and we're going to talk about situations caused by the work of the flesh. That's what we're talking about today, the war within. So, and they can look very similar. Why? Because the devil is a masquerader. Is that a word? He's an actor. He masquerades. Why? Because he knows our flesh. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our ego. He knows what trips us up. He knows what causes us to sin. So that, you know, he could sit over here and we could be unrepentant. We could be causing all this kind of stuff. And he's sitting over here laughing and pointing at us and saying, man, he thinks that's a spiritual attack. And I'm just over here watching him do his own thing. Does that make sense? Yes, sir. It happens. Sometimes we do the devil's work too good for him. Why? Because we're not crucifying our flesh. We can't live, and I'm talking to myself right now. I mean, I have been all along, but you know what I'm saying. It's so critical that we die to our flesh. Because it will get ugly. It will get nasty. So according to Scripture, we are in a battle with God at this very moment. Oh, man, sitting here in church? I came to church today. I got up, I pressed my clothes, I shaved, I brushed my teeth, I made the effort to get here, and you're telling me I'm in a battle with God? Well, it's what Galatians says. It says our flesh and its desires are enemies against God, and they fight against God constantly. So we are in a battle. Paul spoke of it in Romans chapter 7. He said, and I'm going to try and get this right, because man, this is a tongue twister to me. The good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I see another law warring in the members of my flesh. What is it? It's a law of sin. It's that flesh, that earthly sensual desire. Not sexual desire, sensual, fleshly, earthly desire. Could be a myriad of things. It could be a myriad of things. Wars against the will of God. Okay? Now, back to the scripture. Colossians, can you put that back up there, Sister Julia? 2:15. says he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in him. The only thing that Jesus Christ did not conquer at Calvary, study it out in the Word, study it. The only thing he didn't conquer at Calvary was my will and your will. He disarmed the rulers and the principalities. He destroyed the works of the devil. Find me in the Word. I could be wrong, but find me in the Word where it says he conquered my will. You're the undefeated foe. You're the foe, and I'm the foe that hasn't been defeated. Why? Because this is a volunteer army. Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be careful working with people because the Spirit of the Lord will never coerce or cajole anybody to follow him. Matter of fact, he turned to this 12 that were left. When the 70 walked away, he has up to 70 disciples. That's a pretty good showing back in the day, probably. And they turned away and they said, this is too hard, you know? He said, we got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And we don't understand this. These are hard sayings. And we're just going to go. And it's not like Jesus said, well, it's about time. Whew, good riddance, you know, because he's not like that. But he did, however, turn to his 12 and say, are you going to go too? He did not guilt them. He didn't beat them over the head. He just said, are y'all going to go too? Because I've got a kingdom that I'm going to advance. And I need followers. And it's that simple. Right. You know, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's a gentleman. He knocks. And those who are going to follow him are going to follow him. Think about it. The rich young ruler who came to him. And he said, what do I have to do to inherit the kingdom of God? Do this, do this, do this, do this. Done all that since my youth up. You lack one thing. Go sell all you have. Give to the poor. Come and follow me. Listen, the significance of that is huge. See, because rabbis, that you, typically in that culture, students went and asked the rabbi, can I follow you? And the rabbi would deem, okay, this guy's serious. Yeah, you can follow me. Okay. Jesus extended an invitation to this man to follow him. Just come, follow me. That's huge, folks. That's huge. And he wouldn't do it. Why? Because his flesh, his ego, you know, people say it was his possessions. Well, that's what his flesh and his ego were attached to. Okay. That's what his desires were toward, but it was his flesh. And he went away, the Bible says, very sorrowful. And the Bible says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him. The Lord loves you whether you follow him or whether you don't. Okay? And he will never, never force nor guilt you into following him. But we are in a war today. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it's the war within, folks. It's the war within. Again, there's a war without, but today we're focusing on the war within. Because if there's a war we've got to win, we've got to win the war within. Okay, we've got to win it because God will take care of everything else going around us. So, for to set the mind, from the English Standard Version, on the flesh is death. Notice it says to set the mind. It doesn't mean people don't sin, they don't do stupid things, they don't make mistakes. But to set the mind, in other words, I'm going to do this regardless. Okay, on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. Okay, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So could you please keep verse 7 up there? For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. All right? That encompasses a lot. You know, when we teach like this, sometimes we think of the dirty dozen, you know, adultery, fornication, drugs, porn, alternate lifestyle, you name it. And things that we just say, man, those are sin. Okay. Well, what about pride of life? You know, what about my way? What about the way I view things? What about the way I think about things? You know, sometimes God speaks to us, and a lot of times we can get in our minds the way it's going to be, and that becomes our God. And God's saying, look, I told you what I was going to do, but I didn't tell you how I was going to do it. God spoke to Abraham. He said, leave your family, leave your land, and go to a land that I'm going to what? Show you. He said, go. And as Abraham obeyed God, God revealed a little more of the plan, a little more of the plan, a little more plan. But sometimes we can make an idol of the way we think things are going to happen. And if it doesn't happen that way, it's not the will of God. Folks, the Bible says those who are born of the Spirit are as the wind, right? You hear it, you feel it, you hear it, but you can't tell where it's come or where it's going. You could go outside today, and if the breeze is blowing, you could probably say, okay, the wind's blowing out of the northwest. Why? Because the trees are blowing toward the southeast, okay? But you don't know where the wind came from. You don't know where it's going after that. Does that mean everything's haphazard in the Spirit? We're all loosey-goosey and, no. That's why God sets order in the church. That's why God put government in the church. That's why God put leadership in the church. However, we need to make sure, no matter where we are in the church, we're following after the Spirit. And if we're not, and if my way is put above His way, I don't care what I look. I don't care how good I look. I don't care how good I sound. My flesh is in the way, and it's hostile to God. So let's go on. Romans 8, verse 13 says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Our flesh, our sensuous nature, is in constant opposition to the will of God. Folks, gotta be honest with you. And again, remember, we got this pile over here. This is spiritual attacks. It happens. Okay? I just want to segregate this in my mind because I don't want to be misunderstood. This over here is works of the flesh. Okay? Our flesh is in constant opposition to the will of God. All right? The only mode of victory in this battle, right here, which will help us in that battle over there. Because too often we fight that battle over here when we're not winning this battle over here. Point in case. Achan. Israel. Ai. God asks us to do some pretty crazy things walking with Him, doesn't He? I told you the story one time I was in Walmart in the freezer aisle. I just wanted to buy broccoli. Okay? And sure, Sister Camille, as I'm talking to you, God said, tell that woman that God's going to answer her prayer. Where does that come from? Where does it come from? It didn't come from me. I don't want to tell her God's going to answer her prayer. I'm going to look dumb. What if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? I'm going to look dumb. I'm here to buy broccoli. Where does it come from? Well, that's where we need to, if we're not there, we need to start understanding God speaks to us about people. Right? So, you know, God will talk to us and God will speak to us. We need to be sensitive to the Word of God. So those things don't happen because of our flesh. They happen because of the Spirit. All right? So we need to be sensitive to the Lord that when He talks to us about those things, God can use us in the spirit realm. Amen. So the only mode of victory in this battle, which is going to help us out with this battle, is death to self. So who's winning the battle today? Who's winning the battle? You know, often when these matters are discussed, again, you know, too often we think of the Dirty Dozen. You know, these big sins, these awful things that people can commit. We got to stay out of the work of the flesh, but I totally agree. And Paul listed several things which he considered works of the flesh, but I do believe it's the King James Version and says, and such like. In other words, things like these. If it's contrary to the will of God, contrary to the known will of God, it's wrong. And you know one thing I might add, and this is a whole different Bible study in itself, but you know, we need to be careful, too, and not sin against our conscience. Because the Bible talks about in this walk with faith that if I do something that is against my conscience, in other words, He said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay? So, in other words, if, I don't know, let's use this for an example. Because I've heard people use this illustration before. You have a conviction against going to a restaurant that serves alcohol. All right? And I can go there and I have no problem with it whatsoever. I can sit down and I can eat and go home and not be tempted, and there's nothing wrong with that, and to me, and this, that, and the other. But yet you have a conviction I shouldn't go there, okay? That's one of the last places on earth that I would ever need to take you. Why? Because the scripture says that if I cajole you, if I get you to violate your conscience, then it becomes sin to you because it's not a faith. Does that make sense to everybody? It's in the book of Romans. It's there. So there are all kinds of areas that we need to be careful in. So who's winning the battle today? Often, we talked about the dirty dozen, so to speak. But what about the ordinary? I'll use the word ordinary. It's not ordinary. But the everyday things of the will of God. For example, when God speaks to me or God speaks to you, okay, example we talked about. Tell that woman that God's going to answer her prayer. And you could tell immediately when I told her that, she knew exactly that God had spoke to her. I thought, well, that's good. That's good because this is odd. But what about, you know, when the Spirit of God is poured out? Let's go back in time. And the whole town says that those in the upper room look like drunken fools. And God says, Peter, I want you to get up and preach Christ and him crucified to this crowd. And who was among this crowd? Many among the crowd were the very ones that yelled, let him be crucified. So he wasn't talking to a real nice group of people. Okay? They were among the crowd. Let him be crucified. Not all of them necessarily, but many of them. So what do we do then? You ever think about it in that terms? It's not just, oh man, I'm tired today and I'd really like a beer. Should I go by the bar and get me a beer on the way home? Oh no, that's a work of the flesh. I better not do that. We'll crucify the flesh there and let God be glorified. That's not the only instance this stuff applies in, folks. What about when the Spirit says, hey, Peter, get up and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he gets up with everything in him. And he said, these are not junk as you suppose. And he goes on down the line. And he's preaching Christ and him crucified. And he said, and you are the ones who crucified the Lord of glory. You get where I'm going? Let's take a survey. I don't do this too often, I don't think. But let's take a survey. How many people has ever had God ask you to do something? I'm going to ask you to be honest, and you didn't do it. You knew God had asked you to do something, and you didn't. See? We do. We fail, don't we? I failed. One time I failed miserably. Okay? Really bad. And not talking to someone. Because it was the last chance I ever had to talk to that person. Because they were killed in a motorcycle wreck on the way home. And that taught me something. When God speaks, you better do it. Amen. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, when God talks to you about somebody, you better do it. I want to tell you something. That was a horrible, horrible instance for me. Because of the fact, I had a chance to repent and he didn't. You know? So this is serious. And this is what I'm talking about today. This is where I'm going with this. We have a work to do. So it's not just these works of the flesh over here we want to stay out of, and we want to keep ourselves clean and so on and so forth, and we don't want to create chaos in our lives and situations and so on and so forth. And it's not just that, but it's about doing the will of God. Jesus said, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And that's very important. So, what am I going to do? How about when you're on your way to prayer meeting and you pass that beggar, Peter and John, that just happened to yell loud enough that day to get your attention? He said, alms, alms, alms. You don't have a dime to rub together. But the Spirit says, tell him to get up. What am I going to do? What are you going to do? You know what's going to happen in that moment? Your flesh is going to say, what if it doesn't happen? Am I the only one in the room that that happens to? When God speaks to me immediately, my flesh will give me a reason why I shouldn't. I'm not asking for friends. I'm just saying. I think we're probably all in the same boat. That at least for a split second, your flesh is going to tell you. And we say, well, the devil. No, that's not the devil. That's your flesh. That's pride. Let's be honest. That's pride. It's pride on my part. What if I pray for that person, Sister Terry, and they're not healed? Well, what if they're not? Is God still God? Yes. What am I worried about? My ego? How I look? It's the truth. I'm just being honest with you. And that's what we're talking about today. And that we're going to turn the corner here with this war within thing. Because we fight our flesh when it comes to doing the will of God. We fight our flesh when it comes to doing what God tells us to do. I'm just being very candid with you today. There is several years ago, the Lord gave me a message to preach. It wasn't here. Several years ago, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I have never told you no, outright no. Don't ever remember saying, no, God, I'm not going to do that. Now, again, I try to be. So I'm telling you what happened. Please, if you think bad of me, I'm sorry. But I've never figured out how to not be human yet. Because I still got to live in this flesh. So I told God. I said, God, I don't ever remember telling you I will not do something. God, I said, but God, I will not preach that message. Thank God I didn't go fishing that day. That's a joke. You know, Jonah and the whale, big fish prepared. It's hot in here, I know. Don't check out on me yet. I'll be done by 4:15, I promise. But you know what happened? 2:00 in the morning. I didn't wake up. God woke me up. And he wrestled me until I said, yeah, Lord, I'll preach it. I did. Everything was okay. You know, well, I'm still alive. So anyway, but our flesh fights us when it comes to the will of God. Okay? So, I'm losing my place. Sorry. That's because I flipped the page. All right. How about when in the midst of one of the greatest recorded revivals in the Word of God? And I think the story of Philip and Samaria is probably the most detailed in detail of revivals and outpourings that happened. What happens when God says, hey, Philip, I need you over here because you're going to go reach one soul. What happens then? What if Philip would have said, man, God, I just don't know about leaving this. Look at all these people who got the Holy Ghost. They got baptized in Jesus' name, this, that, and the other. And you're telling me to go to a desert? And it turns out it was only for one person. But I truly believe that one person was the beginning of the revival that Brother Billy Cole saw in the nation of Ethiopia. That's what I personally believe. Because it was an Ethiopian eunuch that God got a hold of that day. Just at the right time, Philip was able to catch up with his chariot, and he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I understand except someone show me? And he said, that's true. How can you hear without a preacher? And God sent a preacher from a great revival into this desert to reach you. Don't ever underestimate what God asked you to do, friend. Don't ever underestimate. It may be for one person. Guess what? Philip didn't have an audience of 10,000 people that day that we know of in the Bible. It says the man was in the middle of a desert returning home from worship, and God sent Philip to talk to him. But what if Philip or those around him would have found, oh, Philip, no, look, Philip, you know, look at all these people got the Holy Ghost, man. We need you here and so on and so forth and all this, that, and the other. And Philip said, well, and the pride of life started to set in Philip. He's like, well, I guess I am a pretty good preacher, huh? You know, look at how many people got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. Maybe I ought to wait, not go out there. I don't know. It happens. It happens to us, you know? Why? Because we're in the flesh. We need to be careful. How about when the Lord sends you to the wrong side of town to talk to folks you're not supposed to be talking to? Does that happen? It did in the Bible. Hey, Peter, I got this guy over here. He really loves me. He's a Gentile and he's of the Italian band and he's a centurion in the Roman army and man, he loves me so much. He prays. He reads my word. He constantly gives alms. But I've got a plan for this man's life that he needs a preacher. He needs somebody to tell him about. And I want you to go. Wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. A Gentile? Now this is long after Peter got the Holy Ghost, folks. You want me to go over there and talk to him? No. I don't think so. This is the man with the keys to the kingdom. Folks, that just lets us know we still fight this flesh. Amen? And God gave him a dream. Three times, sheep was let down. Three times, all kinds of animals in there that were that were unclean, God said, rise, slay, and eat. Why? Because God was showing Peter he was doing a brand new thing. God was breaking down some walls, and God was going to use Peter to do it. But Peter's flesh fought him. There was a war going on in Peter. Just like when you have the will of God in your life and I have the will of God in my life, there is a war that rises up in us. Why? Because our flesh is the enemy of God. Amen. Now, does that mean every single solitary time I feel to do something that there's this raging? No. There are some times that I've actually gotten it right. Right like then. Hey, you know what? But there are times that I haven't gotten it right. There are times that I've gotten it right at the wrong time. So, are we really, are we really and truly apostolic as we claim to be? Jesus, this is a bold statement. Jesus, God in the flesh, said in John 10:37, sister, I don't have this for you, and that's okay, you don't need to get it. He said that if he wasn't doing the works of his Father, those around him he was preaching to was not to believe him. That's powerful. Jesus said, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, don't believe me. The works are to testify of me, not what I proclaim to do. God, forgive me. I think we ought to pray right now. Lord, God, forgive us for knowing to do good and not doing it. Yes. Forgiving us for allowing things to get in the way of doing what we know you called us to do. God, help us not to be stumbling blocks. Help us, Lord Jesus, not to be hindrances to the will of God. Help us to crucify our flesh, Lord Jesus, that we, Lord God, would not be a hindrance to what you want to do. In Jesus' name. So are we doing the works of the Father? Are we doing the works of the Father? Most often when God calls us to his plan and work, it goes against the very essence of human reason and common sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, God hath chosen what is foolish to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even those things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no human being might boast in his presence. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who become to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Friends, God calls us to do something. We're most likely not going to have the resources or the ability to do it. We've evolved to the point in the church, and I'm not knocking, okay? I think we need to develop ourselves. I think we need to obey the scripture and to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. However, when God puts his finger on us and he says, Moses, you're going to go and deliver my people from Egypt. Who did he choose? Who did he choose? He chose a man with a speech impediment. Can you imagine? A man with a speech impediment going before Pharaoh and saying, let my people go. When he said, I'm going to have a people, who did he choose to bear the child? People who were already too old to have children. And what did he do? He waited till he knew they couldn't have kids for sure. Not that God didn't know, but you know what I'm saying. He waited until it was absolutely 110% physically impossible. God doesn't call us based upon our abilities. God doesn't call us based upon our talents. God doesn't call us based upon our strengths. We wrestle with God, knowing full well that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? Our ability? No. Our talents? No. Our strengths? No. The power of God that works in us. So we need to be careful. We'll walk a fine line here, but we need to be careful. Okay? not to deny God working in our life because of our pride. Okay? Humility can be a form of pride. Self-abasement can be a form of pride. Scripture says, let he that boasts boast in the Lord. He calls us to do things he knows we can't do because he knows we have to rely on him. And when it gets done, we know it's him and everybody else does too. It makes no sense why God would ask his people to march around the city once a day for 6 days and then seven times on the seventh day, does it? It makes no sense why he would say, Moses, hold your rod over this impassable sea and while the army is closing in on you, and be still because I'm going to deliver you. It makes no sense why the people were thirsty and God said, just smite the rock this time and speak to it the next and you'll have all the water you need. It makes no sense. It makes no sense to preach to a valley of dry bones, my friend, and command the wind to move, but God told him to do it. Amen? It wasn't based upon his ability. But he did it and they moved, and that's the thing. And I think that's what God is trying to get across us today. We have got to quit questioning God in our lives, and we have got to trust our brother and sister and quit questioning the call of God in theirs and do the will of God. God, don't let me be a stumbling block to somebody else when God has called them to work. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a war within, my friend. We got to crucify this flesh. Got to crucify it. There is a scripture, and I got to wrap this thing up. I'm running out of time. There's a scripture in the Bible, though, that says, that has been on my mind a lot lately, says they love not their lives unto death. Friend, we got to make up in our mind that we're not only willing to live for this, but we're willing to die for it, too. Are you willing to allow God to move like he wants to move? I got a question for us today. I don't want you to answer this right now, but think about it and pray about it. Everybody put your hand on your heart for me. Just ask yourself this question. And don't answer it for yourself, but let the Lord answer it. Can God speak to me? Can God speak to me? Just a very simple question. Pray on that this week. Can God speak to me? We're in a fight today, my friend. It's our will versus God's will. It's our understanding versus his wisdom. It's our kingdom versus his kingdom. It's what we think versus what he knows. It's our ego versus his omnipotent splendor and majesty. My friend, we have to be careful. We've got some great promises in this church. More revival, though, has been stopped by ego than we would dare believe. I know churches that have dwindled down to almost nothing. I'm not going to name them. But I know churches that have dwindled down almost to nothing because people were not allowed to do what God called them to do. My friend, God's got to have vessels to move from. He needs all kinds of vessels. He doesn't just need me. He doesn't just need you. He needs us all. We need to be able to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Praise God. Jesus walked out of Nazareth because all the people could see was a carpenter's son. Oh, my word. All they could see, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter? Is this not Jesus, the son of Mary? That's all they could see. And God had come to show up. My friends, sometimes God shows up in our lives and God shows up in the lives of others, and we are so short-sighted we can't see that it's God. Be careful. God was among them. God was walking among them, and all they could see was the carpenter's son. Jesus does not force his way into anyone's life. He is the good shepherd. He was crucified because he didn't meet the criteria of the religious leaders of his day for what a Messiah should look like. All they were concerned about was deliverance from Rome. What's going on around us? That's all they were concerned about, was a deliverance from Rome. And all Jesus was saying, you don't even have the love of God in you, church. He said, they said, Lord, do we see? He said, if you had to ask me if you can see, he said, you would understand. If you would come to me and say, Lord, we're blind, we can't see. He said, then you would see. He said, but you think you see and you're blind. My friend, we need to be very careful because sometimes we think we got it all together and we think we know the direction. And my friend, God's walking among us and God's ready to move. And we're saying, well, no, not this and not that and not the other. Why? Because it doesn't line up to the way I think things should look. We need to be very, very careful. Very careful. There's a war going on inside of us. The sad thing is they had scripture to detail Jesus Christ and they missed him because he didn't fit their mold, their pride, their community status, my friend, and they could not control him. They hated him because they couldn't control him. Matter of fact, at one point they said, we need to stop this. He said, because all the world's gone after him. What does it matter? What does it matter? Friend, my whole life, my prayer for my children is, God, let him be greater than I've ever dared to be. Let him do more than I've ever dared to do. My friend, my son was youth pastor for one of the biggest churches in the United Pentecostal Church for 5 years in Mississippi. And then God called him and he goes out to San Leandro and God gives him a church and God gives him equipment and he's more blessed now financially than he's ever been. My friend, I'm not sitting back and thinking, well, why, God, why did you do that for him and you didn't do it for me? My friend, that's the whole purpose of this thing. I must decrease so that Jesus Christ must increase. And the way he increases is multiply. Himself through other people. It's not a threat to me. It's a blessing to me. Matter of fact, it just doesn't bless them out there. I had a lady walk past me the other day and she said, you know, I was thinking about your son and how proud you must be. She was thinking about my pastor, son, pastoring a church on her way into work. My friend, I'm telling you what, that's a blessing to me. Why? Because God's on her mind when she's on the way to work and it's being done through my son. I'm telling you what, every time someone tells me something like that, I say, I am proud of him, but I am very thankful. Why? Because God has done it, my friend. God has done it. God's done it. God forbid if we ever get to the place where we have to feel like we have to control what God is doing. Again, we're not talking about wildfire. Not even into the equation. But Jesus Christ couldn't even minister in his own hometown because they were so familiar with him. And one of the saddest things is he could not speak to them because they would not hear. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. How you hear. How you hear. Would you help me out? Everybody close your eyes and touch your ears. Just touch your ear. We're going to pray that the Lord would help us to hear properly. How you hear. Matter of fact, I think Brother Eli Hernandez talked about this when he was here with us. We got to be careful how we hear. We have to hear with a heart that wants to receive the word is an intent on obeying. Because I can listen to preaching all day long and it do me no good if I don't want to hear it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you would touch our ears in this house. God, touch our minds. Clear us, Lord. There's a lot going on around us, God, but what most important is what's going on in me. I pray that you would touch our hearing, Lord, and help us to hear properly. Help us to hear with a desire, Lord, to serve you and a desire to obey, a desire to love you with all of our heart, strength, and mind. And God, forgive us for our failings and our shortcomings and the times we've been lapsed and lax, God. Wash us with your blood and help us to hear properly in Jesus' name. And I'm going to close this out. I apologize for going over, but I want to close this out with this last statement. It struck me this morning as I read a news article, and again, I'm not a news junkie, but I do keep up with what's going on in the world because I want to know how to pray. I want to pray against things. I want to pray God's will. I want to be educated. But I think it's the people of Issachar, the Bible says they were wiser in their time than their brethren were. In other words, they knew what was going on around them, and God could use them. So I that's why I'm doing that. But I read an article. And something struck me, and I think there's a spiritual application here. But it was about one major city out west refusing help and to come and to bring order into the city. And the question struck me, isn't it amazing how much destruction we are witnessing in our country right now because people in authority will not receive assistance from others in authority because of ideology differences. That is because they don't see things the same way. So we'll just let the whole thing burn down because we can't come to an agreement. We can't see it the same way. We won't have common ground. My friend, we have to be careful. We have to be careful. I don't think we ought to let every Tom, Dick, and Harry speak into our life. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes God sends a little maiden girl in a foreign land to talk to a leader of the Syrian army and says, I know a man who can heal you of your leprosy. What had Naaman had when the lady went from the little girl, what if Naaman would have said, just tell her to shut up because she's just a servant girl and we brought her in here and just tell her to stay in her place and do her job. Naaman would have died, my friend. Matter of fact, he almost did. Because it was the man of God's servant that came out and told him what he needed to do, and that wasn't good enough for him. We need to be careful, friend. Because God can use any means he wants to get his message across to us. God used a donkey. But the destruction we're tolerating because one in authority won't take help from another in authority because of ideology differences. They'd rather be in charge, hold their position and watch it burn to the ground, then humble themselves and receive help, particularly from someone whom they feel is inferior to them. We need help. We need help in the spirit. We need help with our lives. And my friend, I'm not talking doctrine. I'm not talking heaven and hell messages. I'm not talking heaven and hell doctrine. That's not what I mean. But we need to be careful about shutting somebody off because I see things just a little bit differently than they do. Amen? Amen. Or maybe it might be that little servant girl that says, Brother Pritt, I know somebody can help you. I know how to help you. And I look down on her and say, you're just this and you're just that. And I'm walking around and my ear's falling off and my nose is falling off. Friend, let's stand today. The war within. We got to be careful. Because this war within, all this stuff over here, got to take care of. But my friend kind of goes back, and I'm going to appeal back to Sister Megan. How can we expect God to keep over and over and over again taking care of things in the spirit when it's just common sense, every ordinary day things that we ought to be taking care of in the flesh that affect the things in the spirit? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now that your word would find lodging place in our heart. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us. Help us to understand today. Help us to understand what you're trying to say to every one of us, Lord, because this was a general message, God, but you're going to speak to everybody individually as we have need. Lord, that's the way the manifold grace of God works. Help us to receive it, Lord. Help us to believe it and help us to obey it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take a few moments, fellowship, refresh yourself, and we'll come back up for a great time of worship.